Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. I just want to give you just a little background. David and Julie, they are the poster children to how to do an LBS right from the very start. And that was my exposure to them through an LBS leadership class and meeting, actually. And what you're going to hear tonight is something that's really going to inspire you. And it's all about inspiring your people, helping them connect so that they can thrive in 25, right? We've heard that before. But the whole idea that they're going to be sharing with you is some very technical things that they did at the very beginning that really set the LBS class up to be a winner. Just an amazing culture that they created, a community. And so let's just go to the Lord in prayer, if we will. Father, thank you so much for this time again. Lord, I just ask a blessing upon Dave and upon Julie, that you would speak through them. Lord, we consecrate this place for you. Open our hearts and minds, Lord, so that we might indeed hear what you have to say. Holy Spirit, have your good way in this place. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Okay, David, you're right.
Thank you. Well, very excited to see everybody. Let me just get a quick show of hands. Who is either a Life Bible Study director or assistant director or on the team? Can you just raise your hands? All right, quite a few of you in here. We feel like this presentation is not only just geared for you guys, but it'll also be geared for anybody that is in any area of leadership. So may even be some ideas that you can take back and share with your leadership team. So very excited to have you guys and to be a part of this. Our prayer tonight is that we would help share things that might help you become a more effective leader, and also things that might help your class connect better. And that's kind of the most exciting part of being class directors for us, is the connection, you know, that has been built. So we're directors of a Life Bible Study class called Third Quarter, okay? And I know what you're thinking, right? What is this Third Quarter deal? Well, I'll tell you, what we did was we petitioned for halftime as the name of our class. But when they took a look at us, they said, yeah, you may want to think about something else a little bit.
And that is not true. Speak for yourself.
But then somebody piped up and said, well, what about overtime or sudden death? You know, a little morbid, but we tell them that they kind of meet off campus, so we won't do that. But so we settled in on Third Quarter. What I love about Third Quarter in a football sense is after halftime, right? You're re-energized and you have a new strategy in place. You've got hope that things are going to change in the future. And that's truly what we feel about our class. And really was some of the impetus in putting us together was we wanted to be a class that motivated our members to get out, get away from their cul-de-sacs, reach out into the community, reach out amongst the church and various men, whatever God laid upon their hearts, right? But in the process, develop a true sense of community, Christian community. And this is what we feel the small group Bible study is involved with. So before I go there, I just wanted to kind of, I don't want to do that yet. There we go. I'm going to stay here. It's kind of a preview. But the class formed 3.5 years ago. Most of the people did not know each other, so we were a brand new class. It was in the 9:15 slot. It was 40 individuals that were 50s and 60s designed for that group of people. And again, Third Quarter was an apt term for it. Fast forward after 3.5 years, we've got over 160 members. The class is vibrant. It's growing. We've had unbelievable connection on the members as far as community that's built. So we really have built that connection, that Christian connection that we're really looking for. And so Jill and I have just been so blessed by it because we went into this thing knowing a handful of couples, right? And as directors now, we have close relationships with dozens of individuals. So really, really quite amazing. Church asked us to share maybe some things that we did to inspire individuals to plug in, right? Often you find people that attend class, but they don't ever, you know, quite get to the next level. So that was not our intention. We wanted to do whatever God could lay on our hearts to inspire people to connect, to plug in. And I think you'll see that we were really kind of pretty, very strategic about that. All right, let me go ahead to the next deal. Why do Christians not want to plug in to Bible study at church? What are some reasons why they rather maybe stay home on Sunday mornings? Well, this was something important to us in the very beginning because we knew that these would be obstacles that we would need to overcome, right? So here's one, too many fun, interesting things going on, right? A lot of distractions in this world, a lot of experiences that you can have on weekends. In our class, you know, there was more discretionary income, frankly, that they could travel, right? They had grandkids in other cities, aged parents that they had to take care of. So these were things that we had to kind of think through. And one of the things we knew was that we couldn't lay a guilt trip on people for not being there. It was great if we could get them there two Sundays out of the month. Now, some come more often than that. But what we like to think of is that when our members are in town, they want to be at our class, right? And that's great. So perhaps they've had a bad experience in another class. I know personally, Julie and I had this happen at another church, wasn't it, First Baptist, but we had been in a class involved for many years attending, didn't get plugged in probably the way we should, but people did not even know when we weren't there. There was no follow-up. In fact, we saw one couple after we had left the class for over a year, and they thought we were still attending. So been there, done that, right? I mean, I talked with someone earlier today that experienced some burnout. And so that can be a detriment to getting plugged into a class. You know, tried other classes. They just didn't get connected with them. They didn't find the right connection. We actually bounced around from a couple classes before we started. And finally, they couldn't find a class comfortable in that was warm and inviting. And that is something, guys, that you can absolutely change, right? That is something where you can be purposeful in and making a difference. And so there are things that we knew that we could do in that area. So, you know, those were the challenges that everyone faced, that you guys will face in your classes, something like that. And how you decide to be strategic about those challenges is going to impact your success in the class, frankly, in those areas. So as I mentioned before, we knew we had to address these issues, and we had to inspire members that were only coming once or twice a month to be committed and to buy into the purpose of our class and to buy into the whole thing. And we've had that happen. We have some class members that are so committed, but they're not there every Sunday, but they're committed in every other way relationally in our class because they bought in to the purpose on there. So there's three things that we're going to be trying to get through tonight. We have a lot of information that we want to share. All of these things add up to what we call the connection that counts, right? That's what we call this. And it's that connection amongst members, that Christian connection. First one is know your why as a class and communicate it well. We'll talk about that. Building a strong leadership team. Some of you are just now starting classes. This is really instrumental. Julie will talk a lot about that. And finally, developing, we think, the key, okay? Now, we're not even talking yet about teaching. We've got an awesome teacher. But the key, we feel, is to develop a strong sense of community and purpose in your class. And I'll be sharing a little bit more about that at the end. So, you know, step one, know your why as a class and communicate it well. You have handouts there. I'd like for you just to glance at the one that says our strategy. This is what we used 4 years ago when we presented two informational meetings to prospective class members. We literally sought out individuals, couples that we knew weren't plugged in the church, and others that had needs. And we advertised an informational meeting, right? And we got 40 people come to the first one. We got their input. We did a class survey, surveyed them as to what they're doing. And we laid out very specifically what the purpose of third quarter would be. And it was this sheet right here, all the way down to the class verse and objectives, right? And and guess what? When we did our survey, we had 98% of the people surveyed said, we're in. We want to come this class. We did a second follow-up meeting, and that was in the summer. And then we started our class in late August, early September, 3.5 years ago. We had over 40 people show up on that first day, kind of curious as to what third quarter was all about. So knowing your why and communicating it is super, super important. I wanted to share our class first. It's in that list. But right off the bat, this class first really spoke to us, right? So it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful, right? Let us consider how to stir one up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. This couldn't be a more perfect verse for our Life Bible Study class. And, you know, the Greek behind, I was told, I'm not a Greek scholar, but to stir up literally is the visual of stirring up a hornet's nest where you have things just start flying out, right, in all directions, that we really should want to stir up each other to the good works. And that should be an outflow of that. So the class verse is really important to us. We share that throughout the year. We're constantly putting that in front of our class. This is what we're about. This is our purpose. This is what we're committed to. This is what our Bible study is about. And the great thing is our purpose aligns with what God wants us to do, right? And so that being reinforced throughout the year, we do that for members to reinforce it with them, but also for visitors in the class to know what we're about. We reinforce it in all of our leadership meetings that we have. And actually, Julie does a weekly newsletter. And at the bottom of the newsletter is our Bible verse, right? So it is right there in front. So knowing what your why is, deciding on what your why is a class, making sure that it aligns with God's purpose in your class, and then communicating that right to everybody. That was a really key. Julie, you want to come up and share? I'm going to take this out of your way.
Whoops. Excuse me. Yes, so I love that everything we're about revolves around that purpose. And I think so many times people show up to a Life Bible study or a class and it's, oh, let's go, especially if they grew up in the church. You know, it's like, okay, we need to go to Sunday school or whatever, but they never really know what they're about. It's just show up, hear a great message, and then go on. And so our goal is to inspire our members to be able to grow and continue growing as long as God has us here on this earth so that we can reach out, just like Chris Kuba was talking about, and reach out and do good works and reconcile others to Christ. I mean, what an amazing thing that would be. And so the next area that we want to talk about is building a strong leadership team with the right roles and the right people filling them. And it's also a lot about a leadership structure. You know, some of you may have heard of John Maxwell. He's a world-renowned leadership expert, but he's a Christian. He's been a pastor. And one of his famous quotes is, "Everything rises and falls on leadership." And honestly, I've just got to say, I could not agree with that statement more. Good leadership, or the lack thereof, will make or break a Life Bible Study class. It will make or break a family. It'll make or break a ministry, a business, you name it. Leadership is crucial. And leadership is also influence. Okay, a lot of times we think a leader is somebody that comes in and tells everybody what to do and da-da-da-da. But leadership, true leadership, is really influence. It's not a position. So you may be directors of a class, but if you look behind you, is anyone following? And so is, you know, if you're really influencing people to inspire them to do the things that they need to do, that's what's crucial, right? And one of the things that I did in my career for almost 30 years was I led a volunteer army of up to 750 self-employed business women. Okay. And that's a whole nother thing in and of itself. But we were structured in a way that there were many different leadership levels, but if we were building a great team, everybody was doing well and working together and everybody benefited, right? But the thing is, we were all self-employed. And so you can't fire somebody like that. You can't, they're not worried about quitting. And that's the way it is in our Life Bible Study classes. Everybody we're leading is a volunteer. So if they don't like what's going on, they'll just stop. They'll just go somewhere else. We're talking to you about the singles. I mean, they'll just hop off somewhere else anyway. So you got to do lots of influencing and inspiring to get them to want to stay and to commit, right? So leadership becomes super, super important. And the way to do that, the way to influence people in the best way is to lead by example 100%. So if you think about yourself, I think it's important for us all to really, in any kind of leadership within whatever, whether it's with your family or in your business or your job or your class, right? We've got to think, am I the kind of leader that other people are going to want to follow? Am I the kind of leader that I'd want to follow? Or am I just coming in and checking off the list what I need to do to help out in this area? Okay, that's key. And so we happen to be directors of our class. Some of you are directors, but even if you're not a director, you know, who are you leading in your class? Are you setting the kind of example? First question I think needs to be, am I this kind of leader? Am I doing all that I can do to be the best example I can be to the people that I lead? I think it's really, really important. Leadership is both caught, but it can also be taught. And now, yes, God blesses some people with some natural leadership abilities. That's true. God gives, you know, one of the spiritual gifts is leadership. And some people have that spiritual gift. But even if you're in a class and that's not necessarily your spiritual gift, everybody can improve and grow in leadership. Okay? There are lots of great books out there, both Christian and non-Christian. And I've read many. One of the things in my job, when it started growing like crazy, I realized really fast that I needed to learn as much as I could and be the best leader I could possibly be. And so I just would devour all sorts of books. Highly recommend that. But as a Christian leader, in whatever role we have in our classes, especially if you're in a director or an assistant director and you're really leading lots of others, it's so crucial that we stay plugged into the Word and that we stay plugged into our own prayer life, because my prayer every day is that God will continue to make me so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that He's directing decisions. He's directing the direction our class is going to go. He's directing who we ask to fill certain roles. And that, I mean, yes, we're in church and that sounds like the right thing to say, but I'm telling you, that is a game changer for sure. So what I want to do quickly, I'm going to try to go way faster than I did the last time, but I think it's important to everybody, for all of us, to take stock of the kind of leader that we are, and so that we can work on improving and become what we need to be so that we can lead our classes effectively also. One of the things a great leader does is they talk a lot about the purpose, vision, and where the class is heading. You heard David say, we put that purpose and that vision in front of our class all the time. If you're just leading a committee, like you're leading a give committee or a grow committee, what are you putting that in front of your give committee or your grow team all the time? Like, what's the purpose of your grow team? Are you putting that in front of them a lot? Because people are so busy, they need to be reminded why they're doing what they're doing. And it's not just checking it off a list. When you're asking people, when you figure out the structure of how your class is going to go, we'll talk about that in a minute. But when you are inviting people to join you in leadership, to take on certain roles, are you encouraging accountability and openness with those leaders? Like when you invite them to serve with you, are you saying, hey, and I want you to tell me how it's going? And we'll check in once a week here early on to make sure that everything's going okay or if we need to tweak something. You know, if you as the leader, if you tell them that, then they know, yes, I can be open with her about this. Hey, can I get some help on this or whatever it is? A great leader has very high standards. Probably, gosh, David, I put my phone somewhere again. I did this in the last time too. Can you see if it's in my purse over there? Ah, what did I do with it? Anyway, there is something called the Pygmalion effect, which is basically, it's like the self-fulfilling prophecy. If you have really high standards for a group of students that are in a class, they are literally going to perform better than if you have very low standards for it. Sorry, I just did the same thing in the last session. And so as a leader, it's important that we have high standards about how we run the class, how we set the schedule. Like, how many times have you walked into a Life Bible study and you walk in and there's nobody to really greet you? And people are just kind of sitting around, and then somebody gets up and sort of dryly goes through the announcements, and then they turn it over. I mean, how many of you have been in a class like that? I have. You know, and who has time for that? There's so much else competing for their time, right? So what is it like? We sit down every Friday or Saturday and we literally make out an agenda and we think carefully about, you know, what do people need to hear right then? That's setting a high standard for how the class is going to be run. So guess what? Our assistant directors come in and they do the same thing. They know, hey, we got to have our ducks in a row. There's no like flying by the seat of our pants. We want it to be strong and solid for people. A good leader embraces mistakes and failures and the unknown. Did you know that every person, there are two things that they can either have: a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. Have you heard that? There's a great book. If you've never read it, it's called Mindset by Carol Dweck. Highly recommended. It's awesome. But basically, both categories, if a fixed mindset or a growth mindset, they can be great performers. They can do great things. They can be super smart. But a fixed mindset person kind of evaluates their self-worth based on what other people think and how other people evaluate them. So therefore, they don't like to make mistakes. And if they do, they don't want other people to notice, right? And so what happens with that kind of mindset is they tend to not try new things. They tend to not branch out and start a different type of program or do this or do that. Somebody with a growth mindset, those are the people typically that run corporations and do all the, you know, big things in life, because they don't care if they make mistakes. It's like, okay, well, I tried it. It didn't work well. Let's do something else. Well, guess what? As a leader in a class, we can be that way to our class also, to not only our members, but also to the other leaders in our class. So there's those kinds of things all matter. And that, like, we did something, I can't go into it just for time's sake, but we'll talk about that when we started interest groups in our class. A great leader asks for help rather than suffering in silence. We had a director couple come up to us one time who, precious couple, working themselves to death because nobody else was helping them. And they were getting so burned out, and they had sat in silence for months, and they were about to quit. And if that's ever, you know, a great leader knows when they need the help and are very willing to ask for it. For example, for this like PowerPoint presentation, when I did all that work for so long, I was so busy. I had an assistant that always did my PowerPoint things. So then they asked us to do this class. I'm like, okay, I know I can learn how to do PowerPoint well, but I really do not have the time at this moment to learn this and write the training and do all the things. And so we just ask our class, and they, one of the gals who's a CEO of an organization did this for us, which is exactly why our picture is on the front page, because I would not have put our picture had I done it myself. But anyway, that's just the point, is because it was weighing on me. I'm like, I know I need to have PowerPoints. I don't have time to do them. Ask for help. Okay, so a great leader has self-awareness and strong emotional intelligence. What's the definition of emotional intelligence? It's the ability to recognize, understand, manage, and express both your own emotions and the emotions of others. It consists of five key components: self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, internally motivated, empathy towards others, and social skills. So it's crucial for us to grow in all of these areas. And so I've taken all sorts, like if you haven't taken the church's spiritual gifts instrument, the DISC instrument that goes, I mean, there's a zillion instruments out there that you can learn more about yourself and others so that you can be a better leader. A great leader praises others a lot. They look for places to give credit. Catch your people doing something right. Be on the lookout for positive things that you can say that they're doing, and give credit always, always when it's due. A great leader gives feedback so others can grow and develop. Lots and lots of feedback. I think that often doesn't happen. People are afraid because they're dealing with other adults, so they think they can't really give feedback. But hey, if you start out the situation when somebody accepts a new role and you say, so look, this is new, there are going to be things that work well. You might find things that aren't working well, or you might find things that need to be done differently. Let's talk. We're going to, you know, you create that environment so that you can constantly give feedback and nobody thinks anything. You ask lots of questions, listen, have empathy. A great leader influences, elevates, and celebrates. So there's lots and lots of celebrating going on. We have a time this month in February. In February, we're going to just recognize our care group leaders because they do so, so much for our class. And we're going to take time out of class just to do that, because that celebrating is so, so key. So the first question is, I think we do need to take stock of ourselves, be the best leader we can be. But now it's time to look at what type of leadership structure is going to best serve our class. And here's the thing. I heard some of you say you are starting new classes. Others have just become directors of new classes. And others, you know, may have found yourself in a class that's been going on for a long time. Either way, regardless of where you're at, any time is a great time to look at the structure of your class, how it's put together, and is it created in a way that's going to serve your class well? And also, it got put, we walked back and forth, two people carrying papers, and it's away. But if you'll pull out really quickly, your the organizational chart you'll see there. Here's the funny thing about this chart. When we were putting our class together, it was the summer. And we went, we have 70 people serving in our class. These are just the people that are serving. Okay. And when we started our class, we started from scratch. We did the work beforehand with these informational meetings, and we set up this structure for our class. And it was as the church was just starting they were just getting ready to roll out their gather, grow, and give model. Okay. But they hadn't done it yet. And so we had already looked through what we needed to do, and we knew that these were all the things we needed to do. So I'd already asked people to be, we knew, for example, that everybody in our class was really busy. So we needed to have 3 assistant directors. This was when we had nobody, but I knew I couldn't do it all. There was no way I could do it all and do it right in a way that it was going to be able to grow and move. And so we shared the vision. And really, if you're in an existing class and you know things aren't going the way you would love them to go, you could always gather your team that you currently have and say, hey, guys, we've really, really thought through this. And we know that there are some new things that we could do that will enable us to grow even better. And these are some thoughts. But anyway, the only reason I'm telling you that is we already had all this figured out before the church rolled out Gather, Grow, Give. So ours don't line up exactly. For example, their care groups are in the grow area, but our grow team assistant director doesn't have enough time to be over the care groups too. So that's why they're all that to say. You can see here, we've got class administrators. We've got our gather team. We have greeter people that are stationed out in the long hallway before they ever even come to our room. Then they have to walk down a different hallway, and then we have more greeters in the room. I mean, that is crucial. People don't want to go somewhere that's cold and uninviting. So they need a place that's going to be inviting to them. And so, you know, we knew that we needed lots of really friendly, warm greeters. We have a super, super warm, friendly couple that is our visitor outreach. Any visitors that come, they call them every week and keep up with them. So we have a whole welcome committee. We have a social directory that's on GroupMe. We have all those things so people can see all the members of the class. And GroupMe is an app for anybody in here that hasn't. How many of you have used GroupMe before? Okay, so most of you are familiar with it. But we've got all those things. In our grow team, we've got lots of social inreach and lots of activities. We'll talk about all those later. And then we have a prayer team. We have care group leaders. And that started out in our class with one person handling care groups. Okay, but as our class grew, I mean, we didn't have care groups. We had one person handling, noticing what was going on with people. And then as things grew, that changed, and we knew we needed care group leaders. So all that to say, this is just for you to see kind of how we have things structured. But this was in place before we started class, so that our class was ready with lots of people involved in leadership, because that makes your whole class stronger. You've got all those people committed before the class even goes. So it was set up for success right from the beginning. And then the question is, how do I ask people to fill those roles in an effective way and then lead your team to perform well? Okay, so I'm going to go through some things, because like I said, we've got 70 couples that are, 70 people that are in leadership right now. And what's really such a praise item for us is that literally 40 of those people have been with us from early on in some type of leadership, and they've stayed the whole time. So what does that tell you? Right away, that means we knew we had to make roles that were really, really doable, that people would be willing to accept, and also that would enable them to keep going so they wouldn't get burned out, okay? So here's some great tips just for, we've gotten lots of people to step up and do leadership. One of the first things is to pray for God to lead you to the right people. When we knew it was time to start some care groups in our class so people wouldn't fall through the cracks, I just started praying, Lord, what do we do? What do we do? And we started I was in the shower. That's one of my best thinking times. And I was thinking and praying. And it's like that the whole structure of care groups for our class, because we didn't really want another care group that met. Okay, so that came to me. And then it's like God just laid on my heart the person that I really felt from our class that would really do well with this and in coordinating it. So at church on that Sunday, I went up to her. I talked with her. I shared the vision that I was thinking and asked her if she would consider being the care group coordinator. And do you know, as I'm doing that, tears start streaming down her eyes. And I started crying because she goes, Julie, you don't realize this, but that is my heartbeat. I like care groups are my thing. I had no idea. It was like God laid that on my heart. So I can't tell you enough how important that prayer is. Think through who you've noticed with what gifts. Even if they're a really busy person, if you ask them in the right way and you share the vision with them well and see exactly how they fit into it, then they still might accept it. We have some of the busiest people in the world, you wouldn't believe it, who have taken on really important roles in our class. So it's hard sometimes to get people to do stuff, isn't it? It's hard when they're all volunteers and they're all busy. If it's any kind of a big job, like that care group leader or an assistant director or anything like that, I really highly recommend meeting with them in person. Be face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, so they can see your heart. They can hear your vision. And then anybody else, you can call for the rest of the roles that you need to fill. As you're asking, just like I mentioned, share the vision and how they fit in it. Help them see you've made it really doable and not too time-consuming. And tell them that you really would love for them to join your team and that you're going to continually want their input so that you can adjust their role anytime that's necessary. And if it becomes too difficult for them, talk to me and we will get somebody else to help you. Like if people hear those words from you, they're way more likely to accept. So we have, it's hard to get 70 people to do jobs. But if you do it and share it in the right way, it can happen. Here are some effective actions, again, to fill the roles and lead your team well. Be willing to adjust the structure when you see needs or that things are not working well. Help your leaders who lead others know what they need to do. Be willing to confront issues or problems as they arrive. I remember one statement that our pastor that married me and David, I remember, okay, we've been married 41 or 42 years? Coming up on 42. We were married at 10. No, I'm just kidding. But I remember one statement that he said, and I don't remember anything else he said, but it was, there are no big problems. There are only little problems left unchecked. And I thought, isn't that the truth? And it's the same way in our classes. Rather than just let something go on that you know doesn't need to be going on, get to it right out of the chute, right away. And then you can deal with it without anybody getting upset. And it makes all the difference. Check in a lot at first with anybody that's starting a new job. Don't just let them do it and never see them again. Check in at least once a week early on so that you can catch any problems before they become big. And then once they're up and running, you still need to check in every so often. Like David said, we have leadership meetings twice a year. And that helps keep everybody on the right track. If you find someone isn't right for a job, give them an out or bring someone else in to help them. And in all of our time, because we really think through what people's gifts are, who would be effective at which positions, and et cetera, we, most of our people have done great. In 3.5 years of all these leaders, I can only think of two situations where they really, really weren't right for the job. And I just went to them and I said, hey, I can tell that things, you know, are this is kind of a hard situation for you, or that you're feeling burdened by this. Is everything okay? Would you feel better doing something different or taking a break for a while? Tell me how you feel. And boom, I mean, they immediately like, yes, thank you. I really feel like somebody would be better doing this. So it's like, I don't have to feel weird or awkward about it. Just, you know, go to them and say it. Don't be afraid to address the situation. Okay, the last area that we're going to talk about, and we've still got about 18, 19 minutes. We've still got plenty of time here, but we want to develop a strong sense of community and purpose in your class. And this, of course, all these other things we've talked about are critical, really important for building a class that's going to not just survive, but really, really thrive. But this one is what really connects everybody together in a way that makes them want to keep coming and continue being committed to your class. The first thing I want to mention is communicate, communicate, communicate. Let me just say, when you've got people that are in and out, I know it's like that with singles. It's like that in third quarter. I mean, people have lots of things to do in life, right? And they are in and out. Sometimes once or twice a month. You've got to help them to feel a part of it, even when they're not there. And so, therefore, in the beginning, like, I knew this would be a kind of a thing to do. It'd be, take a lot of time. But, we bit off right at the beginning from week one. We've sent out 2 emails to everybody. And if your mode of communication is different with the church database and you can do all text or whatever, that's great. But we do prayer requests and praises, and that goes out to everybody all week. And we also do a quick newsletter that is just a quick update of what the message was, the class, the main topic that was discussed, that was taught in class. It's like any kind of a special thing that they need to know about, like right away. It's also a big welcome to any of the visitors, a big welcome to any of the new members, and any special announcements. And every week it goes. And here's the deal. If that, like, I can't tell you how important that's been. I have people come up to me all the time that said, I have not been able to be here for 3 weeks, but I still felt like I was in the know. Thank you. You know, and so it's like, at first, it takes a while for it to catch on to people, but that communicating is huge. And if that's not your deal, like if that makes you like feel like you want to throw up to think of doing that every week, find somebody else that it's their deal. You know, somebody will probably love to do that and just give it to somebody else. Make class fun, meaningful, and encouraging. Okay, guys, I have something I say a lot, that if you laugh and learn, if they laugh and learn, they will come and commit. Okay? Nobody comes to LBS to be bored. So if it's not interesting and fun, David and I like to direct together so that both men and women will feel very validated and involved. And I think that's helpful rather than just having a guy stand up there the whole time. If you've got women in the class, find a woman. If your wife is not, doesn't like to be up in front of, find one that is, you know, because I think that really does help get more people involved in the class and feel validated. We love to joke around and play off each other. Keep it fun, but then also you want it to be really encouraging and deep. Pray for your teacher. Pray for him or her that they will, that God will just continue to give them wisdom and insight and that they'll have the energy to study and do the things that they need to do. Have greeters, like I mentioned, the greeters at the door. I can't tell you how important that is to help keep things warm. Make sure your leaders, this is huge. We are constantly reminding our leaders to look for anybody that you can tell they feel alone. Like, don't let anybody sit there without somebody to talk to them. And that's just like, how many times does that happen? People that could come in, they're uncomfortable, they're sitting there. We do not let that happen in our class. And our leadership, it's not just up to me and David. It's all of our leaders, if they serve in any capacity, it's their job to be on the lookout for somebody that looks alone, because it's not about us. If we're in leadership, it's about the people that we serve. Give lots of thanks and praise and recognition privately, publicly. Write lots of personal handwritten notes. Isn't that a novel idea? You know, a handwritten note, like nobody gets them anymore. That's like a huge thing to somebody in your class that's done something big. It keeps things really, really personal. And if not that, at least a text. Lots and lots of personal praise and recognition. Involve lots of different people in class by asking them to announce things. Like, we have somebody who's in charge of our dinner aid or breaking bread. We will have them stand up and share in class so they feel a part. I've had somebody tell me that they don't like to do that because it makes them lose track of time. And my response to that is, if you are leading well, you'll be able to control that time. So like, when we have somebody that makes an announcement, we reach out to them and, hey, we've got 1 minute to make this announcement. They know it. And so when they're talking, all I have to do is stand up and go, almost time, like that. And they bring it to a close. So get more and more people involved, both men and women, to pray. We have a male teacher, but we will, at the end of the, you know, we alternate having a man and a woman pray in class. And I think that involves everybody. Never make people feel badly for not attending. Okay, I'm going to say this because guess what? Because we knew everybody was going to be in and out, there are lots of people that if they've been in church before, they sort of feel guilty when they've missed a lot, right? And so that feeling of you know, not judging them is key. And I've had so many people come up to me and David, and tell me, you know what, thank you for not making us feel guilty for being gone. So when somebody's been out for 3 weeks, I'm like, hey, we've missed you. Did you have do anything fun? Or is everything okay? Or whatever like that. And it's like, yeah, we were traveling. We were this. And I'm like, oh, tell me where you went. And it's just taking off the pressure and just no judgment. And then as far as effective strategies, directors set the vision, continually think about the vision and the class needs. And as new needs arise, find solutions as fast as you can, and don't be afraid to try new things. For us, and this is the last thing I'm going to share, for us, after we'd been going about a year, our class was growing like wildfire, and I knew very soon we were going to start losing people through the cracks. And so that's when that whole care group idea came to us. We don't have time to go into a lot of effort on that, but I asked our care group coordinator, whose heart is all about that. She's been phenomenal. You have a handout. It's 3 pages of exactly how ours are coordinated. And we have care group leaders that have about no more than about 10 people in their care group. And we use the ROC database to do reports to find out who's in, who's out. And those care group leaders are responsible to stay up with their people to know if they're missing for a while, is everything okay with them? And so people they always feel known and seen and loved. And also, we do a lot of serving in our class, supporting ministries, because we want our class to not only just come and sit and soak, but to get out and give. So David's going to finish up with it, just a couple of things, and then we'll move on.
Hang in there. We're going to have dessert in 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes. So this last section is really super important to us. We plan our whole year out. Actually, about 9 months out. And there are a lot of events that we do planning in. So planning is so important. For example, typically we will have a host, we'll host the assistant directors for a meal, and we'll evaluate the year and discuss ideas, followed up by we'll have an all-class leadership dessert, okay? And we're talking 40, 50 people, 60 people will show up for that all-class dinner. We'll break up into three teams, gather, grow, and give, have them work on strategies, pick dates for events, get all that flushed out in typically in one evening. We do that later in August. We'll have, we just got through meeting again for the spring and the fall with the GROW team, and we've got all the dates, all the activities planned out all the way through August with the themes, with what we're going to be doing on there. These are so important because this is where the community is built, right? All of these events that we do together, whether it be just fun events or whether it be something else. We'll encourage all class leaders to meet for dinner, attend Level Up in January. You know, we have about 16, 17 people here tonight. Breaking bread. Some classes call this Dinner for Eight. It's an amazing thing that we do in the spring. We divide the class up into groups of 10. Says eight, but 10 typically now because our class is large enough to do that. Last year, we had over 111 people involved. They meet together as a core group three times for dinner over a four-month period, and those friendships grow deeper as a result of that. So that's one thing. But yeah. Yeah. Women's events, men's events, couples events. We've got typically two different events each spring, summer, and fall. Women have got almost 40 people signed up for Galentine's next week. The guys are going to do a Bowling for Bros up here at the church. They love it. Figure that. We'll have 20, 30 guys come to that. Again, these are all things that have to be planned out, right, that we have to be proactive on. In advance, right? It's got to be, we want it in advance. We don't want to just throw it together so that we have, we can announce it on in class and on calendars and put it on the calendars and event. Couples events, we're going to have in May. We're going to have a fiesta on the lawn here for couples. And it's going to be a fun time together. We have a great Christmas party from a couple standpoint. But you get, what you see is we have all these things are designed to get our class to communicate with each other and get to know each other as well. Julie mentioned about GroupMe. We actually have five different interest groups inside GroupMe. Don't laugh, but we've got a shooting group for men that like to shoot guns. We've got a golfing group. We've got a book club that women get together on, a walking club. We just started in January, first and third Saturday, what we call Extra Point, okay, carrying on with the football, same for men, and it's we're going through the book of Proverbs, one book each time that we get through with some questions. Again, all of these things takes planning. GroupMe is a wonderful way to connect. We're starting to see organic growth within GroupMe, couples actually reaching out without a scheduled event, right? They're doing stuff. Julie? Yeah. We also plan out our class ministry events that we're involved with. So we have those on the calendar this spring, some very specific things that we're doing, both ministries in the church and also outside the church. We're involved with an organization called Gracewood. Of course, the Faith Center. We've had groups. Again, all of these things are designed. Not everybody can go to them, right? But the fellowship that is for when you do go, you always get so much more out of it, right? So all of the, I guess the point here is it takes some planning, right? But it's so worth it to build the community, because this is where this happens, right? You get to know other couples, other individuals, you find things in common, then you're seeing them at class in between, and there's that relationship that's building. You know, we haven't talked much about our teaching. We have the most amazing teacher, Robert Schwartz. He's a godly guy. He loves the study and the preparation. He's both inspirational and motivational. He's not hard. He's willing to tackle the really tough subjects that a lot of churches probably wouldn't even want to talk about. He tackles them in class and very transparent with that. And these are two quotes that he's seems like once a month or so he's weaving into his lesson. First one from Dwight Edwards: the ability to do the will of God is the gift of God. The second one: salvation is by grace through faith alone, but faith that saves is never alone. That was Martin Luther. And of course, both of these lead to the foundation. The Holy Spirit is what is going to be active in our lives and in our class. We can build connection between each other, but we want to make sure that is in place for it. Now, you're probably thinking, David and Julie have lost their minds, right? I mean, with all this stuff. But I tell you, you know, what we've shared with you is that with our class structure and with setting the purpose and inspiring individuals to take hold of that purpose, all of this happens because we have people that are involved with us. You know, our role really, and as class directors, is we talked about setting the vision and, you know, keeping the why and the purpose in front of your class on a consistent basis. We share the work and ministry and building through the class structure. Julie kind of went through that, and we encourage strong leadership within our team. And then finally, we really, really work on developing a sense of community. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen over time. And I would tell you, looking back after 3.5 years, it is really happening in our class, and it's such a blessing.